Oh, it's great to see a Cathedral family. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for joining us. Whether you're in the building, out in the amphitheater, those at the drive-in, those online, thanks so much. We're in a series called Cathedral at the Movies. Before we jump in, let's ask God to bless our time in the Word together. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful Cathedral family. What an honor it is to serve them. I'm so grateful. Thank you, God, for the gift of life. Thank you for being here together in your presence. I pray, God, that over the next few moments, there'll be a lot of stuff that's said, but help us to hear the one thing that we need to hear, that we'll take hold of it, it'll take hold of us, and this week will be different because we met you in this moment. That's our heart, that's our desire. All God's people said, amen. Can we give God praise one more time? Amen. Oh, before you're seated, just remind somebody, we serve a good God. Go ahead. We serve a good God. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Typically in the month of August, we look at some of the hit movies that have come out in that year and what some of the themes of those movies are, and most importantly, what the Bible has to say about those themes. Last week, we looked at a streaming series called The House of David. How do you take down a 9-foot monster? And now today, I want to talk to you. Well, the movie, one of the big hits of the summer, has been the newest release of Superman. Now, Superman's been around a long time. There's a new actor that plays him in this release, but you may remember, there's been a lot of actors who have played Superman. Watch the screens and see if you remember any of these.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me. Who's got you?
You okay?
We had to dig it. We had to dig way down in the archives to find that one Superman. Not only is there a new actor, there's a new director. And I was listening to an interview with him and about what he viewed as the main theme of the movie. And what he said was interesting. He said, "For me, it is mostly a story that says basic human kindness is a value and is something we have lost." Let me read that again. "For me, it is mostly a story that says basic human kindness is a value and it is something we have lost." And so for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about this basic value of kindness. And if it is lost, how can we get it back? Mother Teresa once said this. She said, "Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face. Kindness in your eyes. Kindness in your smile." And the Bible puts it this way. In fact, I invite you to read this scripture with me, and let's fill this place with the Word of God. Everybody, "God has chosen you and made you His holy people. He loves you, so you should always clothe yourselves with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, even if you don't wear a red cape. How can you clothe yourselves with kindness this week, and why? Why is it so important? Well, here's four things for you to think about. First of all, when we try a little kindness, it shows us who our Father is. It shows who our Father is. This year, we're celebrating our 60th anniversary as a church family. Can we give it up for God's faithfulness? 60 years of God's faithfulness. Now, I realize some of you have been in the church a long time, and so you remember our founder, my dad, and you're familiar with my dad. Others, you've started attending the last few years, and so you never had the chance to meet our founder, my dad. But if you want to know what my dad is like, look at my brother. Because the older Kurt gets, the more he looks like my dad. I mean, he's got that spark like my dad. He's built like my dad. He thinks like my dad. He talks like my dad. He even walks like my dad. If you see my brother, that's how my dad walked. The older he gets, well, you know who his father is. Well, every time we show kindness, we're showing who our Heavenly Father is. Listen to how Psalm 145 describes our God. We read, "The Lord is gracious and what? Kind and tender. He's slow to get angry and he's full of love. The Lord is good to all." We've been singing about it. "He shows deep concern for everything he has made." The Lord is kind. Now that may not seem like a big deal to us, but in the ancient days, to say God is kind, that's not the way they viewed God. They talked about the wrath of God. They talked about the power of God. They would say God is rough and tough, that we live in a rough and tough world. And the reason it's a rough and tough world is because God is rough and tough. They would say, beware of God. And then we come to the Bible and we find that God is kind. And every time I'm kind, I'm expressing the kindness of God to others. I mean, there are many things about God that I'll never be because I'm not God. I'm made in the image of God, but I'm not God. I'll never be all powerful. I'll never be all knowing. I'll never be all present. I may think I'm God. I saw this one lady who said to her husband, she said, "My husband and I have religious differences. He thinks he's God and I don't." A person may think they're God, but they're not really God. And yet, we're made in the image of likeness of God. And one of our missions is to reflect who God is in the world around us. And every time I show kindness to other people, I'm showing them what God is really like. That we serve a God who's kind to those who deserve it and kind to those who don't deserve it. Listen to what Jesus said. "If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. Love your enemies." Say that with me. "Love your enemies. Do good to them. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is what? Kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate." Maybe we should just, well, call it a day there and go home and try to put that into practice. That'll take us a while. I mean, sometimes I feel like this minion who said, when killing them with kindness doesn't work, I've heard a baseball bat is quite effective. Because they don't deserve my kindness. Are you God? God's been kind to you when you deserve it and when you don't deserve it. And whenever we exercise kindness to those who don't deserve it, we're practicing what I call spiritual jujitsu. Now, jujitsu is a martial art, is a little different. In fact, it's called the gentle art. That's what it means. Because in jujitsu, you don't respond with force. When someone shows force, you show force back. Or when someone strikes, you strike them back. Instead, you use their energy against them. And when they come at you, you use their momentum to then take them down onto the ground. And every time I exercise kindness, when someone comes at me hard and I respond in the opposite spirit, I take them down with kindness. When someone's not nice to me in a parking lot, not this parking lot, because that never happens, but in other parking lots, instead of responding harshly, I take them down with kindness. When someone loses their temper, instead of screaming back, I take them down with kindness. When someone on social media says something mean and nasty about me, instead of coming back at them, I take them down and send them a blessing in return. Every time I do that, I'm becoming an expert in spiritual jujitsu. You may look at your life and think, man, I'm a white belt when it comes to responding in kindness to those who don't deserve it. Just remember this, a black belt is just a white belt who keeps showing up. Let me say it again. A black belt is just a white belt that keeps showing up. God, grow us in that grace of kindness. Kindness, say it with me, kindness. Now that brings us to the second idea. And the second idea is that when we try a little kindness, we build up the emotional bank account. I borrowed this from my grandson, Chase. Now, when I was a kid, I had a piggy bank. He has an ATM. That's the day we live in. No joke. And so we know you have a bank account. We know what it is to make a deposit in the account, and we also know what it is to make a withdrawal from the account. And if you make more withdrawals than you do deposit, you get a note from the bank. It says your account is empty or you're overdrawn, and that's never good. Well, imagine every relationship in your life, everyone, it has what you could call an emotional bank account. And you can make deposits or you can make withdrawals. Have you ever made a withdrawal from an emotional bank account? I heard about a husband who forgot his wife's anniversary and she was ticked. She was really ticked. It was a meaningful anniversary and he forgot it. And she said, tomorrow morning when I wake up, there better be something in the driveway that goes from 6 to 2, or that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds. She laid it down. So the next morning she woke up, she looked outside, and there was a brand new bathroom scale. They haven't seen the husband since. Right? Make those withdrawals, we make the deposits. I gotta tell you, if the bank account is high emotionally, everything's easier. It's easier to communicate, it's easier to solve conflict, it's easier to tackle challenges. When the bank account's low, everything is harder. There's more tension. There's more frustration. Everything is more difficult. So how can we build up that emotional bank account? The Bible tells us how. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be what? Kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Be kind to one another. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, points out the importance of kindness. He says, the little kindnesses and courtesies are so important. Small discourtesies, little unkindness, little forms of disrespect, they make large withdrawals. So here's a question. Where is there a relationship in your life that needs a deposit? Last month, my wife and I, we celebrated our 42nd wedding anniversary. Isn't that something? She is a saint. And since she has fond memories. When she was a kid, her grandparents had an Airstream. And so for 42 years, she's talked about Airstreams. So for our anniversary, I found a campground up in Russian River that you can rent an Airstream at that campground. And so that's what we did. We went glamping for 2 nights. And there we are, living the dream in the Airstream. And I'm unpacking, and I look over, and here's a card sitting on my side of the bed. And we had just got there. I thought, how did that card get on my side of the bed? And the more I thought about it, my wife had to go shop for the card. And then she spent money to get the card. And then she took time to think about what she was going to write down in the card. And then she somehow snuck it by me and set the card up to surprise me. And you'll never believe what she wrote in this card. I can't read you what's in this card. Ooh, is it getting hot in here? I'm sorry. My wife. You may look at this and you may see a card. When I look at it, I see a deposit into the emotional bank account of our marriage. That's what a deposit looks like. I love you. Now that brings us to the third thing about kindness, that when we bring a little kindness, when we try a little kindness, we bring some softness to what can sometimes be a harsh and a cruel world. A harsh and a cruel world. It's interesting. The Greek word for kindness was also used in the making of wine. And so what would happen is they would make wine and then they would let it age. And as it aged, it took away the harshness and the bite from the wine. And so they would say the wine had mellowed, it had softened. They would say the wine is kind. The wine is kind. And whenever we are kind to somebody else, it brings some softness and some beauty in what can often be a harsh, cruel world. Let me tell you about the world in the time of David. We looked at him last week. But in that day, if you became the king, the way you did business is you got rid of all your rivals. So if there was anyone in your family who was a threat, you would take them out. If you were replacing another family line, you would take all the males of that family out. It wasn't personal. That's just the way they did business. And then David goes all countercultural and shows kindness in the middle of this brutal world. He asks one of his workers, he says, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the what? Kindness of God. The kindness of God. And he hears about a grandson who's crippled by the name of Mephibosheth. Now, he's been hiding in seclusion because he knows if they find out about him, he's going to be done away with. And now that they have found out about him and David has sent for him, he knows he's on his way to be executed. He's resigned himself to that. And so when he comes to David, he's filled with fear. And here's what David says to Saul's grandson. Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually. David does something that is so radically countercultural. And every time you and I take the kindness of God to our world, we live in a beautiful world, an amazing world, but a world, because it's broken, that can sometimes be very harsh and cruel. I saw this one cat who said, "Goodbye, cruel world." And that can be that way. We know how that is. The world can be very harsh. And yet, when you're kind to a coworker who's had a really rough day, or you're kind to a daughter who's just getting bullied at school, or you're kind to a homeless person who's down on their luck, or you're kind to somebody in church, my guess is that almost everyone in here, that person on your right or that person on your left, everybody's got some kind of challenge you're facing. And when you show the kindness of God to them, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, kindness in your greeting, it brings beauty and softness into a biting and harsh world. In fact, we don't even have to wait to make that happen. Would you turn to two or three people, give them a big smile, and shake their hand and greet them? Share the kindness of God with each other. Let's take just a minute out. Let's share that kindness of God. Amen. Let's give God praise, amen, for the kindness that He's shown us. Being kind. And here we get to our last point. And that is, when we try a little kindness, it has a way of bringing out the best in others. Dr. Angie, I just read an article called "Can Bad Manners Kill You?" And in the article, they talked about a study that was done with doctors and their staff. And they found that doctors who were extremely rude and excessively rude, that it has an effect, a negative effect, on their staff's performance. And their staff is more prone to mistakes. There's all kinds of things that tend to go wrong because of the relentless rudeness. And the researcher who did the study said this. She said, simple rudeness had robust implications on medical team collaboration processes and thus on their performance as a team. In other words, rudeness brings out the worst in the team. Kindness, on the other hand, can be a positive motivational factor. There's a scripture in Romans 2 that just catches me off guard. Maybe it does for you too. It reads, don't you see how wonderfully what? How wonderfully what? Tolerant and patient God is with you. Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His what? Kindness is intended to turn you from your sin. The reason that surprises me is I would expect, well, it's the wrath of God that will turn you from your sin. Turn or burn, baby. But that's not what it says. It says the kindness of God is a motivating force in your life, that when you look at how good God has been to you and how patient God has been to you and how kind God has been to you, it has a way of lifting you up and bringing out the very best in us. Hallelujah to God. And when we're kind to others, in the book, The 1 Minute Manager, they have a suggestion that you take frequent breaks. They call them praising breaks. And they say, find someone who works for you that's doing something right, and then take a moment to compliment them. And watch how that will change the atmosphere in the office. Even if you have to correct somebody or have a heart-to-heart with them, when you're motivated by kindness, and you correct them in kindness. The Bible says, if a godly person hit me, it would be an act of kindness. If they would correct me, it would be like pouring olive oil on my head. There's something about being corrected in kindness that is just easier to receive it and to respond to it. So as we wrap things up, Harvard did a study, and in the study they found that people who exercise kindness, random acts of kindness for 7 days, recorded higher levels of happiness at the end of the week. So here is your cathedral challenge. For the next 7 days, you can do anything for 7 days. For the next 7 days, practice one random kind act of kindness a day. Compliment someone. Write a thank you note to someone. Pay for someone else's coffee. Leave a generous tip for someone. Reach out to someone who's lonely. Send an encouraging text to someone. Hold the door open for someone, whatever it takes. I saw these one people that were going through a drive-through church, and the pastor said, the car in front of you repented for your sins. Wasn't that nice of them? Whatever it takes, say, God, take me deeper, take me further for the next 7 days. In fact, on your way out, everybody's going to get a card. On the one side, it's Superman. But on the other side is something that Mother Teresa, I've read, had posted on her wall. And I invite you to look at this with me and repeat when I say join in. It says, if you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Would you say it with me? Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Say it with me. Succeed anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Say it with me. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Give the best you have and it will never be enough. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Can we give God praise for his kindness? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Everyone lock in. If you'd say, Pastor Ken, God has been so good to me and so kind and so patient with me. And I know about Jesus, I've heard about Jesus, but I've never really stepped across the line and surrendered my life to Jesus. And today is my day. I'm not gonna just be a fan, I wanna be a follower of Jesus. And you're making that decision today. I wanna agree that today is your day. Would you lift up your hand real high? Say, Pastor Ken, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you in the balcony. God bless you out in the amphitheater, online, there in your car. God sees your hand. God sees your heart. I'm going to invite everybody to say this prayer after me. Mean it with all your heart, and you can leave here beginning that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Everyone say it with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. And I believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior of the world, and I put my trust in him. I put Jesus in charge of my life. I surrender my whole life to him. Thank you, God, for loving me like you do. Thank you, God, for making me a part of your family. And now let me say a prayer for everyone. Father, thank you again for all those who are beginning the journey, but all of us today, Cathedral family, guests, all of us want to take a moment, God, and express our gratitude for your kindness. Thank you for being kind to us when we deserved it and when we didn't deserve it. God, you have been so good and so kind. Thank you for bringing out the best in us. I pray, God, that you would help us to grow in kindness. We live in a world where there can be a lot of biting nastiness floating around. God, let us go countercultural. Lean into your kindness this week, and let's see what can happen. One of the most powerful gospel witnesses can be just expressing your kindness to the world around us. Bless your people. Lift them up. Let them leave here encouraged. In Jesus' name and for his glory, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Can we give God praise? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? And before I dismiss you, just a couple of quick things. If you need prayer, our team will be in the chapel to pray with you and pray for you. Don't forget, out in the amphitheater, we've got food trucks. If you don't have to rush off, please stick around and enjoy some time getting to know some of the other Cathedral family members. Thanks again for coming out today. How about if we... Oh, and the giveaway card. Yeah, on your way out, make sure you get your kindness card. And let's lean into it this week. Just think how happy we're going to be next week. I'm already happy, but after 7 days of kindness, I'm going to be so happy next week. All right. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together, everybody, as we wrap things up. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you, Cathedral. Have an awesome day.